Have you ever walked into a building full of people where there was chaos, everybody talking? You could tell people were animated, disagreeing. There was just a sense of unrest. And somebody says, "Who's in charge?" You may have heard this story. A man walked into a store one day and he said, "Have you seen five people pass here all dressed in white?" "Yeah, they were here just a few minutes ago." "Why?" "Well, I've got to catch up with them. I'm their leader." What a question. Who is in charge? In the 94th Psalm, the psalmist begins by saying that it is the Lord who is able to execute vengeance. He is the one who is able to mete out punishment. But then he says, here's what's going on in the world today. "How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy inheritance. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the homeless. Yet they say," listen, "the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob require it." You understand what the psalmist says? In his day, there was violence. People were being taken out of their homes, losing their land. They were being put to death. Murder was common. And then the people said, who were doing all these things, "God doesn't see what we're doing. And if he does see, he's not going to pay any attention." Have you ever heard anybody today say, "Does God really see what's going on? You think he's aware of what's happening in our world today? All the injustices and all the evil that goes on in our world?" Let's take a look real quickly through the Bible. Just a few examples. Did God know what was going on in the days of Adam and Eve? What do you think Adam and Eve thought when Satan came to Eve and said, "Don't worry about it. What God is telling you is nothing to even consider. He's just afraid. He's afraid that if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be as wise as he is and you won't need him anymore." Did Adam and Eve believe Satan? How many times do you think during the years that Adam and Eve lived after that, they might have asked the question, "Who is in charge? Who should we have allowed to be in charge?" You remember in the book of Genesis, God had two young men, brothers, Cain and Abel, and God commanded them to go offer a sacrifice. Now we know from understanding the Bible that they were to offer that sacrifice, and Abel offered it by faith, Hebrews 11. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God had told Cain and Abel, "You go offer a sacrifice." and you offered of the lamb of the first of the flock, without spot, without blemish. But Cain decided that he was in charge, and he went and offered vegetables as a sacrifice unto God. And when God saw when Cain saw that God had favor to Abel's and rejected his, the Bible says he was wroth, and he killed his brother. And the Lord went and talked to Cain, and he said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you angry? If you had done nothing wrong, would you have any need to be upset?" And can't you hear Cain? "I just wanted to be in charge. I just wanted to do it my way." Isn't that exactly what the Bible tells us beginning in Genesis chapter 6? When God said to Noah, "Go build an ark." And Noah preached to the people and said, "Repent. Turn back to God. For the Bible says the very thought and imagination of man's heart was continually wicked before God." Man had decided once again that he was in charge. How many of them do you think would have longed to have just one opportunity to say, "God, I'm sorry. I realize I'm not in charge. And if you'll just open the door to that ark or give me another ark, I won't do this again." I wonder how many times Pharaoh had wished that he had known how important it was for him to do what he knew to be right. When he said, "Who is God that I should listen to his voice, that I should hearken unto him?" And because he wanted so much to be in charge, he defied every sensible, reasonable thing that God put before him, even to the point that he took his whole army into the midst of the sea where they were drowned because he wanted to be in charge. We talked about this on Sunday night just a couple of weeks ago. Ananias and Sapphira, as far as we know, were the first people to bring sin into the church after it was first established. Now, here's what Ananias and Sapphira did. They sold their property, and they gave a portion of what they got for that property into the hands of the apostles to be used to care for those who were in Jerusalem, who had been converted and were away from their homeland. Now, you can read the Bible and everything about this event. And the people were not even commanded to sell that property. They did it of their own free will. They were not told how much of it if they did sell it. They had to give. It was a free will offering. All Ananias and Sapphira did that was wrong was try to make people believe that what they gave was all of it. Now I want to ask you, compared to what you see today, as you look in the world today, was that a big lie? Was that one of the big sins that people think about today? They didn't commit adultery. They didn't turn into homosexuals. They didn't decide to be transgender. All they did was try to get a little more credit than what they deserved. And what was the result? Until man realizes we open the Bible in the very first chapter, it reads like this. In the beginning, God. God was already there. All through the ages, men have been plagued with this question. Where did God come from? Who made him? When Moses was about to go down into Egypt, he asked God, when I go down, they're going to want to know who sent me. And what shall I tell them? And God said, you go down and this is what you tell them. You tell them that I am sent you. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's always been here and he will always be here. What a marvelous thought. Who's in charge? Today, we look at our world. Who's in charge? The Bible says, doesn't make any difference what political affiliation our leaders have. The Bible says that we are obeying the laws of the land. But today we're plagued with an ever-increasing belief among people that what is true is what I believe and what I think and what I want. And I am in charge. But I suggest to you that in our world today, the greatest amount of chaos that exists because men have forgotten that God is in charge not of the world, but of truth. God is in charge of the message of salvation. God is in charge of his kingdom. He has not turned these things over to you or to me for us to decide what we believe or what we practice. We live in a world today where more and more people will say, I am a Christian because I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's all it takes for me to go to heaven. Anything else I may do to obey God is not essential to eternal life. I've asked many people through the years, how can anybody say that God has given commandments for us to obey that are not essential for our salvation? Who's in charge of deciding what commandments of God are important and what commandments are not important? We used to preach and preach boldly that Jesus said, recorded in Mark 16, again recorded in Matthew chapter 28, when he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Matthew records it in these words. Go make disciples of all men. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So many people today write their own laws and their own rules about what it takes to obey God. Until man fully understands that there is coming a day when each one of us will stand before the judgment throne of God And as Paul said to the Corinthians on that day, we shall give account unto God for the things that we have done in this body, whether they be good or evil. People tell me today, one church is as good as another, even though Jesus said he would build his. He shed his life blood to purchase it. Paul told me I was in Ephesus in the book of Acts. Over the past few weeks, there are some things that have troubled me greatly. And I have found that I have not accepted fully in the last some time the challenge that God placed before me when I became a Christian. Paul tells us that it is important for us to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith or not. While I have said and do not compromise on that belief, we are living today in an apostasy that is worse than the apostasy of the first century. You see, today, we have learned in religion for every man to do what is right in his own eyes. Believe what you want to. Practice whatever you want to in the name of religion. As the psalmist said, God doesn't care, he doesn't see. We can do whatever we want to as long as we profess to believe in Jesus. Have you ever wondered? Jesus left this earth a challenge he had given to his disciples, the apostles. Go into all the world. Go preach the gospel. Go preach repentance and remission of sins in my name, beginning in Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We talked in class this morning. Those who teach any other gospel except the one that Paul said was delivered unto him by the Holy Spirit is a murderer for all that believe false doctrine. There is no child abuse so severe as to take a child away from a knowledge and an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Truth, the gospel, is not only worth dying for, it is worth living for. And that does not mean 40%, 60%. To truly put our faith in Jesus Christ and to meet the challenge to call lost souls out of darkness and under the light of Jesus Christ is a challenge unlike none other. indifference, apathy, have taken us away from a blood-stained cross. Faith, truth, the church has in most places become a poor shell of what it once was and what it ought to be. I trust that some of you remember as clearly as I do. 68 years ago, when I stepped up to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to lay hold of the hope of eternal life. I don't want to go to heaven alone. I want my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my dad, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and all that I learned to live, to love over the years, to make heaven their home. But somehow, somewhere, there must be a few people, just like those men that Jesus called after his death. Something happened to them. Jesus reminded Peter that it would happen. He said, Peter, when you are converted, when you turn, go feed my sheep. The world today stands in darkness. The voice of the Master has been silenced in too many places. I have renewed my promise to God. I do not know the day or the hour when my journey on this earth will end. But I want to promise him all over again. Number one, that I love him for what he did for me. That I am thankful that he loved me enough to give his son to die on Calvary's cross. And that I was able to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that I want to serve him in such a way that others can see that there is nothing so precious, so valuable as walking uprightly before our God. Would you join me as we sing together?
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is our stay. Humbling your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Sink the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous be in the sky. So we